So we're in carrying on with 1 John. I've had a few breaks, but we'll continue on. And today we're in chapter 2 and reading from verse 28. So 1 John chapter 2 and reading from verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let's just pray together as we look at his word. Our Father, we come before you this morning in the midst of all the things that happen to us in our life, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak, and I just pray that we would all be able to hear from you what you would have us know. I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that you would strengthen us in your word this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So apparently I'm told that I'm a lot like my father, whether I like it or not. One thing I've noticed that I do is when I'm working with my hands, so say I'm cutting something or I'm, you know, doing woodwork or something, when I make a mistake, I'll tell myself off and I'll say, "John, sort yourself out," or whatever. And I thought it was just something I did, but then when I go home and work with Dad, he's there telling himself off as well, and my brother does the same thing. And so there's a saying we have for this, and what people tell me is, "Oh, you're a chip off the old block. You know, you're just like your old man. The same, you know, you're just the same as him in many ways." And what they're saying is that, you know, here's this block, and you hit it with an axe, and off comes a chip. And really, you're not that much different from your father. And it's true that to some extent, and I know it varies a lot between us, to some extent we're all like our parents. And you know, as you spend more time with your parents, perhaps you're more like them. But the rule applies that we've all been born of somebody. So to some extent, whether we like it or not, we're all like our parents a wee bit. We share things in common. But what we may not realize is that while we have physical parents, we were born, you know, we've got a mum and a dad, we also have a spiritual father. And what we want to learn this morning is that we tend to take on the characteristics of our father. We tend to be a chip off the old block. And there's only two fathers that we can have spiritually that we see here, and that is either that you're a child of God and you've been born again, or you're a child of the devil and you do His will. And what you do and how you live is going to come out of who you are. And so as we say, you're a chip off the old block, you're like your father. Also, to some extent, when we are born again, you become like God. You do things as He would do. And so this morning, we come to 1 John again, and we remember, if you turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we remember that John is writing to encourage the believers. So if you read 1 John 5 verse 12 and 13, he says, "Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So he's writing to a group of believers, and he's encouraging them in their faith, and he's encouraging them in who they are in God. And this morning, what he's telling us, is that if we are in Christ, then we are a child of God. And he also goes on and says, well, if you're a child of God, then that's going to affect who you are. That's going to affect the direction of your life and how you live. And it seems like there have been false teachers that John's been preaching against, and they were denying Christ. And also it seems like they were saying, well, it actually doesn't matter how you live. If you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're a spiritual person. You know, it's not going to affect how you live. But John's saying, no, you're children of God, and it's also going to show itself. It's going to demonstrate itself. And so we see this famous verse here, chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." So this morning, I think we're just going to try and look at, what does it mean to be a child of God? What does it really mean to us to be a child of God? And I think of, you know, Ed's just told us his story about, you know, what it means to him to be a child of God and to try and walk as a child of God. And so I just want to sort of flesh out what it means to us, not just that we were saved, but also what it means to us today to be a child of God. So the first thing that we need to understand about being a child of God is that you must be born again. You must be born again. And if you flick over with me to John chapter 3, so we're in 1 John, but we'll go over to John chapter 3. And this is the famous passage where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee. And he tells him that he has to be born again. So reading from John chapter 3 and verse 3. "And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus, who's a teacher of the law, that he has to be born again. And Nicodemus is just going, you know, what are you saying, Jesus? I'm a fully grown man. I'm quite big. How am I going to get back into my mother? And he just doesn't understand it. And Jesus is saying, well, no, you have to be born again spiritually. So you've been born once, and you have your parents there. And he's saying, you have to be born from above. And how can we be born again? How can we have God as our Father? Well, we know that to be born again, we have to turn to Jesus in trust and in faith, and that's what we call conversion or regeneration. And so, being born again is when we realize that we're a sinner. We see ourselves for who we are. We've got no hope of salvation, except for the love of God who sent His Son. And He died on the cross to take away our sins. And through Christ's death on the cross, and as we believe and trust in God, then we're born again. And it's because of this second birth, this spiritual birth, that makes us children of God. Now, I know it's probably a term that might be that can be thrown around a bit, you know, to be a born-again Christian, and it can be a little bit confusing, but the truth is that there are only two people. There are those who are Christians, and there are those who are not. Or in other words, there are those who are born again, and there are those who are not. So if you're a Christian today, then you've been born again. You've been born of the Spirit. And the Bible describes it in many different ways. You know, I mentioned regeneration. Paul also talks about how you're now a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So something's changed. When somebody is a Christian, something has changed. And the Father, your Father is no longer the devil. And we see that that's what John is saying back in 1 John and verse 8. He says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." So the truth is that we have to get into our mind is that there are children of the devil and there are children of God. And if we are to be children of God, then by faith we take hold of Christ and we become children of God. But what John's dealing with here is that he's saying, well, look, this is the reality. He's preaching to the converted here. He's preaching to people who are Christians. They've taken hold of Christ. They believe in the Son of God. But now the question is, well, how do I live as a child of God? What does it really look like for me tomorrow and in my life? How am I going to be a child of God? What is different? Well, there's two commands that John gives us in this passage, and they come near the start of the passage. So he gives a command in verse 28 of chapter 2. And he says, "And now, little children, abide in him." So that's the first command. He says, "Abide in him." And the second command, and it's you might not actually notice it at the start of chapter 3. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us." Now, some of your translations might say, "How great the Father, how great is the love that the Father has given to us." But I think you're actually losing something when you say that. When you look back at the original, there's actually a command here. That word "see" or "look" or "behold," it's a command. So those are the two things that John is encouraging these Christians to do. He's saying, abide in him and see, look at his love. And so we're just going to look at those two things this morning and see how that works out in our life. So given that you are a child of God, you've been born again, you've been made new, and your sin has been dealt with, it means you now have access to God. Previously, you were an enemy of God and you were foreign to him and you had your sin and that was between you and God. But now you've become a child of God and so you can have a relationship with him and you can know him. And so he says in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." So it's a bit of a funny old word, abide. I don't know if you guys instantly say, "Oh yeah, I know what that means." But the idea to abide in Christ is that we would remain in him. It's just an idea of being with God, of living with him and of knowing him and having a relationship with him. And so the focus that John has here is that we would know God. He doesn't immediately go on and say, "You've got to live like this, you've got to follow these rules." He says, "Know God, abide with God, live with God." And there's also an idea in abide is that we would continue in him. So we have become his child. By faith we have believed and trusted in him, and so we're to continue in that. And I think that's a huge reminder for us who are Christians. And sometimes we think that our faith is just something that we did back in 1986 when I believed in God. And so now I'm going to heaven. And then, you know, what effect does this have on my life. But really, we're called to trust God from then on. And our life is a life of continuing in the gospel and entrusting in God. And what's the effect of this? What's the effect of getting to know God? Well, we see that John keeps tying back to who God is and finding out who God is and getting to know him. And he ties into the character of who God is. So if you have back a look and look back at the passage, you see that in verse 28 he says, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." And then down in verse 3 he says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." And so just as I was talking about how, without knowing, I've taken on habits and characteristics of my real father. I do things that he does without even realizing I do them. And what John is saying is know God. Get to know God. And as you get to know him, that's going to change you. That changes your heart. And we see he's tying it back in that God is pure and God is righteous. And so as we have a real relationship with God, he's saying, this is going to affect your outlook on life, because you know that God is pure and righteous and loving. So that's the first of his commands here, and that is to abide with God, to know God, make every effort to know him. And then the second command was the one I mentioned earlier, is to see. To see God's love. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So he's saying to the Christians, he's just saying, stop and look. Look at the love that God has given to us. Look at it, see it. And what are we to look at? He says, look at the kind of love. See what kind of love, or see what manner of love. It's like he can't describe it. It's this love that is so outside our understanding of love, so over it and above it. And he says, look at the love of God. Look at the love of God. You people who have experienced the love of God, you've been born again, look at it. Fix your eyes on the love of God. And what is it? You know, how has he loved us? He's loved us in that we could be called children of God. And let's just think about this for a minute and think about what he's saying. He's saying that the God of the whole universe, the God of perfect power, who made everything that we see, and who's perfect and pure and righteous and holy, has made us children of God. And when we say us, we've got to think about who we are. You know, we're not perfect. We're sinful. And so often we go our own way. And he's saying, look, God has made you a child. He has made you his child. Look at that love. Turn again and look and see the love that God has for us. And see also how it's not just a thing that happened in the past, and it's not just a thing that's happened in the future. Although it is that. He says that you're a child of God now. See in verse 2 of chapter 3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." And so we became a child of God in the past, but we are a child of God now. And so that means that we know that we're loved now. We know that we can have a relationship with him now. And the other thing we see is that he's also looking to the future. We can have a hope, because we know that one day we'll be perfect. One day we will be like him. He's going to come back, and we'll be transformed and we'll be perfect. And so, you know, what do we have to worry about this morning, Trinity? If we're children of God, what do we have to worry about? We don't have to worry about anything. We have a father who's a perfect father. He's not like an earthly father who fails us. But he has made us our children, and he's perfect, and he watches out for us, and he's coming back. And we can also have hope that we're not always going to be the way we are now. We're not always going to be struggling with sin, because we're going to be made perfect when he returns. So there are the two commands. That they're quite simple. It's just to abide. Well, simple to say, hard to do, I should say. But to abide in him and to look at his love. And so in that way that we've been born again, and then that we seek to know him, and that we continually look and see and know his love, there's an expectation that our lives will be different. It's inevitable that when you spend time with somebody, you pick up things from them. You pick up what they like and what they don't like. And so it should be with us and God. So how could you live your life if you are a child of God? That's what you are. How can we live our life as if God doesn't exist? And that's what he goes on to say here in the second half of the passage. So from about verse 6 down to verse 10, he says, because of these things, because you're a child of God, then your life is going to look different. It's going to look different. So I'll just read from verse 6 down to 10, and just notice the repetition. He's leaving us in no doubt that there should be a change, that there should be a life lived not in sin. So in verse 6 he says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And then down in verse 9 he says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And then in verse 10 again he says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. So it's clear that if we're children of God, that something's different in the way that we live our life. But I can see that we've got all sorts of questions when we see this passage. Some of the translations will say that if anybody sins, then he's not a child of God. And you might start to get all sorts of questions about what he means, because back in verse 8 of chapter 1, remember he said, anybody says he has no sin, if anyone says he has no sin, he lies and the truth is not in him. And so you might ask, well, is this a contradiction? Is John saying, oh, you know, nobody's perfect, and then here he's expecting us to be perfect? What's the story here? Well, he doesn't mean perfection. We know that we can't be perfect in this world. We can't live a perfect life. But it does mean that you're not going to continue practicing sin. When he says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, it's an idea of a continual direction of your life. That you would carry on and continue to practice sin. I think one way that this sort of makes sense in my mind is that when you're a child of God, you can't dwell with sin comfortably. You're not sort of good roommates with sin. And so, because you're a child of God and the Spirit is in you, it says the seed of God is in you. And so, if somebody's a Christian and they know God and they're dwelling with God, then they're not going to sit on the couch comfortably with their arm around sin. There's going to be a battle that is going on, and they're not going to just practice sin. They're not going to continue to sin and have no effect on their conscience. Because we know that as we grow more and more as Christians, we realize more and more our sin, and it annoys us more and more, because we know that it's not reflecting who we are. We know that it's not consistent with being a child of God that we should sin. We know that in our bodies we still have sin, but we have the Spirit of God in us, and so there's a battle that is going on. And so that's why he's saying, you know, a Christian doesn't just carry on sinning and continue in sin and there's no worries. He's saying, look, there's going to be a change in your life. There's going to be a directional change in your life, because you're no longer a father, you're no longer a son of the devil, but you're a son of the Father. And we must, you know, we have to bear in mind again what he said in chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's this idea that we're not going to just continue to practice sin and do whatever we like. As a Christian, we're going to be fighting that sin, and we're going to be having it dealt with by confessing it to God continually. And so we've seen that if we are children of God, we've been born again, and we're called to know God and to abide in Him. And then as we know God and as we abide in Him, sin no longer has its rightful place in our lives. And so I think of how I'm like my father, but my prayer is really not that I'm like my father, but that I'm like my heavenly Father. And it reminds me of Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, and we'll turn over to that just before we finish up. So if you can turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And I find this inspires me. This is what I want to be like. So if you read chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they, and they being, you know, the people around them, the crowds. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished. And now listen to this bit carefully. It says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that inspiring? Isn't that what we want people to say when they see our lives? You know, not aren't they good at this, aren't they good at that? But we want to see our lives and say, that person's been with Jesus. They know Jesus. They know Jesus. So what are we gonna do with this week? How are we gonna live as children of God? Well, it can't just be try harder, do better. I think everybody's tried harder and tried to do better, and we end up in the same place. But it's just gonna be those two things that He's told them to do, is to abide and see. But just before I say that, I just say that to those of us who aren't a Christian and we haven't been born again, whether you realize it or not, is that you're actually a child of the devil and you're enslaved to him. And so you need to think about your life and realize that while you think what you're doing is just what you feel like and what you want, you're actually enslaved to the devil. And the only way you can be free is to be a child of God. And so just realize that's where you are. If you're not in Christ, then you're a child of the devil. And remember in verse 28, it talks about how those who don't know him will be ashamed when he comes. They'll be ashamed. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So if you don't know Christ, then you need to turn to him. Because otherwise, when the last time comes, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. But really, this letter has been written to Christians. It's been written to Christians who know what it is to receive life from Christ, but also who know what it is to struggle with sin. So what are we going to do? We're going to abide with Christ. And I know this is a huge topic, and you might say, well, how can I do that? And I just say that there's two ways I can think of it that we could do it this week. And first of all, let's remember that God is here. Let's remember that God is here. We say abide with God. Well, the truth is God is here. And if you're a Christian, you have His Spirit in you. So let's acknowledge Him every day. Let's wake up in the morning and remember God is here and think, what is God going to teach me today? What is God going to have me learn today? How can I serve God today? Because He's here. And I know He's here and He's real. It seems ridiculous that you would have a friend and you wouldn't even acknowledge that they exist. You know, that's not knowing God. So first of all, let's live lives as if God is real. That's what we believe, isn't it? Let's live as if God exists. And secondly, if to abide in Him, then there's got to be communication. You know, there's that little song that some people learnt when they were kids, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Well, it still applies here, is that we would speak with God, and that we would also learn from Him. And I'm not saying that you have to sit down and do a massive study of the Bible and analyze all these things, but can we not just take a little, some attribute of God, something we know about Him, and just take the time this week. Let's sit down for half an hour, somewhere where it's quiet, and just seek to learn something about God. Seek to know God, and to pray with Him, and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me learn? And just enjoy a relationship with God. That's what we're here on this earth for, is to know God. So we need to abide in Him, and then also we need to see. I think this is such a desperate need for us, is to see God's love again, is to see His love. So often we're wearied by the world, we're beaten down by sin, and we know that Christ saved us, but it seems like a distant memory. But let's turn again and look at the love of the Father. The truth is that He has loved us hugely. He has loved us hugely, and we are children of God. So let's take that time to stop and look and see and know that God is a God of love. So this week, I just pray that we would seek to know God again, and that we would seek to see and know His love. And let's have this running around in our minds. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we could be children of God. And it's my belief that if Trinity is full of people who really know God and who see His love, then that's going to overflow. Our actions are going to almost look after themselves as it overflows out of our relationship with God. And then people will look at this church and people will look at us and they'll say, they've been with Jesus. I can see that. They've been with Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before You and we just praise You that You would love us so much that You would send Your Son to die on the cross so that we could be Your children. And Lord, we know that we fail You in so many ways, but we just ask, Lord, that You would make Yourself known to us, that You would make Yourself real to us, and that we would be people who know You, who know who You are, and who live our life and live our lives as children of God. And so we just pray that You would be with us, You would encourage us, and You would strengthen us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.